Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third down, goal to go with the 5. Williams, the running back, to the left of Mahomes. Now they bring Tyreek Hill in motion with it. They fake to him. Throw right side. Caught by Williams at the right pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. Andy Reid dials up a brilliant play.
That was the call from Mitch Holthus, Chiefs Radio. As the Chiefs win Super Bowl 54 a week ago Sunday. And Hugh, as we kind of sit here and put a bow on the 2019-2020 NFL season, you know, the Super Bowl is always fascinating because a lot of times you see the best team win. Sometimes it's the team that goes on a run. Sometimes the team that just has the most good fortune happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I really think the Chiefs were the best team, but a lot of people kind of poke some holes in their spot at the top because of some circumstances that happened to other teams and the fact that they themselves basically had so much adversity during the season and during the playoffs where they had to come back from some pretty improbable situations in order to just even get to the Super Bowl.
Well, if you were to ask me, I think that's what makes them the best team.
That's kind of what I feel.
Because they were able to overcome that adversity. Listen, the best team, to your point, doesn't always win. This is true. But they were the best team on that day.
Yes.
And opportunity presented itself where they capitalized on said opportunity. Man, look, this is not an exact science. It's not.
No.
It's not. And things happen. Momentum switches. That's the best part about, for me, watching the game on television. Is because you can see that. Now, talking about that Super Bowl, in the third quarter, it felt like the San Francisco 49ers had all the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And this game was basically a wrap. So much so that I started to, like, I didn't speak it, but I'm thinking, like, damn, if Coach loses this game, or if, who are they going to blame it on?
Right.
And you know he's going to get the blame. He's definitely going to get the blame for that.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, look at that Tyreek Hill pass from Mahomes, and now they have different life. And for the simple fact, for whatever reason, somebody decided to let Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball as much as he threw it. Like, for whatever reason,
we know who that somebody is.
Yeah. So it's like, dog, you know, what you doing that for? You like, so you did things that lost you the momentum.
Contributed to your own demise.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, as far as, like, the best team doesn't win all the time, that's true.
I mean, think about a bunch of different teams in the league. I mean, think about, for the longest time, Baltimore was everybody's darling.
Hand favorite.
Because of Lamar Jackson. He goes and collapses in the postseason for a second consecutive year. Seattle, early on in the season, was a team that I thought was really, really strong, and they just got decimated with injury after injury. They had to call Marshawn Lynch out of retirement to have him play running back. And even the Patriots, I mean, you know, people say, you know, oh, well, their offensive line was decimated and they didn't have any wide receivers. There was a point in time in the year where they had Antonio Brown and they had a whole bunch of things going for them. And, you know, they kind of always had that mojo until the middle of the season when people kind of thought that a first-round exit for them was a fait accompli.
Yeah. Oh, fait accompli, huh? They hit it with the big word right there.
There it is.
But, yeah, you know, you look at the run that the Baltimore Ravens were on, they were hands down favorite. You know, big trust, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson. It's not, dude, there's so much stuff that can happen during the course of the season that you have no control over. And you talk about the Patriots, for a matter of fact. Everybody thought they were going to be fine. And then, you know, they trying to scramble to get a receiver, got Mohamed Sanu. He wasn't the guy. They missed Gronk a lot.
Yeah.
They missed him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that offense, as much as they want to blame it on the quarterback, when Antonio Brown got into all of that trouble,
mm-hmm.
that really set that team in a tizzy. That really set them back But they did what they had to do, because you can't keep a guy. You can't keep what he was doing. You couldn't keep him on the squad, so you had to let him go.
Did you see his sit down with Josina Anderson?
I saw a little bit of it, and I'll say this, because you know he benefited tremendously from all the other stuff that was going on when he had that sit down. So a lot of people really didn't get a chance to see it. Mm. You might have to go back and watch that one, because I saw snippets of it. Mm. But I will tell you this, what I did see, he looked like he was you remember back in the day when Mike Tyson sat down with his wife Robin Givens?
Yes.
And he didn't look right. He looked like something was, like, he was just sitting there looking real docile and like he was like medicated.
Right.
Antonio Brown kind of felt the same way.
He felt sedated almost.
Yes. That's the word that I'm looking for. See, look at you. You're good for something. We got these big old words coming out your mouth, sedated and things of that nature. But yeah, he looked a little off.
It's a superpower of mine.
Yes.
I have the super.
Which one is that?
Yeah, I have the super vocab.
Vocabulary. Yeah, extensive vocabulary.
Which one is that? Is that in the is
let
on,
me see,
on the
let me,
list?
I'm looking on the list. I see super vocal range. I see super tasters. Super flexibility.
We were talking earlier in the show about
it'll probably be under the IQ one.
If you
have above 178 IQ,
odds of having a genetic mutation or a superpower. I don't see vocabulary on there, but
that'd probably be on the IQ.
It's that super brainiac thing, man. That's what it is. Here's my whole thing with the Antonio situation, is that my biggest issue with him is that I don't think he understands what he did wrong. Like, I think it's one thing to appear remorseful. It's another thing to show me. Because I even think about, and this is going to be a poor comparison, but, you know, I think about what we were watching the other night with the Mike Vick documentary. Mm-hmm. Like he's somebody who was never going to win back the favor of a lot of people based on what he did. Like, people have him always painted as this horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you see the entirety of the story now and what he's done since he's gotten out of prison and what he did in the community when it came to, you know, the humane societies and the animal shelters and all the stuff that he did and how he's been a constant presence as a sort of that, if you're somebody who believes in the redemptive nature of people, you can believe that he's a changed man.
Let me tell you, I knew Michael Vick before the dog fighting. I mean, and when I say I knew him in passing, you know, playing against him, people that knew him, just brief interactions with him.
Mm.
Michael Vick was arrogant, was very, very arrogant. Michael Vick felt like he was untouchable, especially being here in the city of Atlanta. No question about that. He's an iconic figure. What him and AI are to me one and the same, even though they're from the same place. You know, you talk about what AI meant to the city of Philadelphia. Michael Vick was the same thing here in Atlanta, especially when you talk about how during that era, during that time, that's when, for hip-hop, Atlanta was big on the hip-hop scene. You're right. Talking about Outkast, Ludacris, and all of that. That's when Atlanta started to make, like, huge inroads as far as the music industry was concerned.
Absolutely.
Like, that was the hotbed. Atlanta was the mecca of music during that time.
That was the Ludacris song. Welcome to Atlanta, all that stuff. That was right at that time.
And for Michael Vick to be here and to be a African-American quarterback in a predominantly African-American city, you know, chocolate city like that was huge. And he was untouchable to a certain extent.
Sure.
You know, because I'm pretty sure, you know, being in the city of Atlanta, Michael Vick probably was running around the clubs doing his thing. You know, there's other parts of that stuff that they didn't even touch on in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The Ron Mexico stuff, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Not trying to disparage his name or anything, but Michael Vick had carte blanche in the city.
He
had carte blanche in the city. And when you have that and you're able to do whatever you want to do or be able to touch whoever you want to touch or hang out with whoever you want to touch or whatever hang out with, you're going to act differently. You're going to treat people differently. And you saw a little bit of that in the documentary when they were talking to him and they were asking him questions about what's going to happen. He was like, man, I'm Michael Vick. People going to love me regardless.
Right.
And when they found out they didn't and he went to jail. Now, this is the Michael Vick that I met when he came to Philadelphia. When he went to jail and I asked him about it, he said, man, that's when the reality hit, because he went to jail. Mm-hmm. He went to for real
Leavenworth.
Jail.
That's
he didn't go to
no joke.
It was a what was it? it wasn't a maximum security prison, but it was a mid security prison.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that they send. You know, they don't send garden variety criminals. No. They send the bad people there.
Man, come on! And so he did that, and he was just like, he knew he had to do things differently.
Right.
And his whole life has been about changing that. And another thing that he did.
And I don't think Antonio's gotten to that level.
No, he's not. But Mike knew he was wrong for what he did, and he didn't run away from it. That's what I commend him for.
Mm.
Because, you know, you talk about filing, what, Chapter 7 or Chapter 11, whatever it is, the bankruptcy filings where you could just get all of your credit wiped clean and start over new. He didn't want to do that. He took it upon himself to pay back everybody that he wronged. He paid them back.
Mm-hmm.
That's commendable because they even pointed out in the documentary that the commander-in-chief has been, you know, bankrupt a few times, and he walked away from his debt,
mm-hmm.
walked away from it, and started over new. Mike didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He paid his debts. And I commend him for all of that. He's never going to be liked by everybody.
No, he's not.
But when you talk about us being a stand-up guy and a man, or what the definition of a man used to be back in the day, he's all that. He's all that in a bag of chips.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you. Okay. It is the day that is the most important day in movies. He was a big movie buff, movie guy, as am I. We'll tell you what we expect to see tonight in the Academy Awards. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're faster than he is. Even with the wrong driver and all the committees. And that's what he's thinking about. He's sitting in Modena, Italy, right now. That man is scared to death that this year you actually might be smart enough to start trusting me. So, yeah, I'd say you got Ferrari exactly where you want him.
That is one of the nominations for Best Picture, the Oscars, 2020 Academy Awards. By the way, do you prefer the calling it the Academy Awards or the Oscars?
I call it the Oscars. I did not see Ford versus Ferrari either. Abe saw it. He said it was a great movie.
It was good.
I
wouldn't say great. I'd say good.
I didn't see that.
I'd say good, not great. I saw Ford versus Ferrari. I obviously saw The Irishman because it was on Netflix. Joker, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I did not see Parasite. People like Parasite.
Parasite was good. I saw Parasite. Parasite was good.
Could be the first foreign language film to win Best Picture with Parasite. 1917.
Didn't see that one.
I think that one would be my favorite because, and not necessarily because it's the favorite one that I saw, but I think it's the one that is going to basically stand to type, if you will. Like, that's the kind of movie that wins Oscars, if you will. That's the kind of thing that the Academy, the Motion Picture Academy, usually makes an Oscar winner because of the way of the artsy stuff that's in that
you
movie.
You mean the presentation, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, the single camera view and things of that. They'll give them a lot of credit for doing something like that.
Yeah, I see that they're starting the red carpet scenario kind of early with the Oscars this year, huh?
Yes.
You know, I don't know if, you know, and just because I like the outfits that they wear.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what Billy Porter's going to wear to the Oscars.
Mm.
You remember he wore, I think, a few weeks ago, for that was the Golden Globes or whatever it
yes.
was? He wore like a curtain thing, like a curtain thingy on his face.
Yes.
He's an extra dude. It was funny. I think it was me and Andy Bunker were talking, and we said that if we had to have somebody dress us, like, you know, to pick out an outfit or whatever, it would be Billy Porter.
Really?
Yeah. Not so much because of the like, you know, dressed to the nines, like a nice suit, some shoes and stuff like that.
Not because of the provocative nature, because you know that.
No,
because
he'll put you together. He's gonna put you together nice.
The best actor list is this: Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix.
Antonio Banderas. What did he play in?
Jonathan Pryce. Antonio was in. I want to say he was in the Ferrari movie. Was he not? No. Now you're.
Don't worry about it.
You're getting me. I'll figure it out.
Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out together.
It's all good. We'll figure it out together.
That sounded really weird.
That's
Pain and Glory. What movie was that? Didn't see
true.
That one.
Not sure what that is.
Matter of fact, speaking of Antonio Banderas, it's not one of the best on the screen.
Not one of the best picture ones. I'm not sure which one that is. I think Joaquin's going to get it. I think.
Yeah, he was pretty good as the Joker.
Yeah, I think Joaquin has to get it.
Cynthia Erivo, is Harriet.
Yeah,
she's in this movie. We've been watching The Outsider.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken, like, me and John Friggy have been watching it.
Yeah.
And it's taken a long time. It slowed down tremendously.
Yeah.
From the first two episodes that we've seen. It's really gone into a path where it kind of, like, she's become, like, the main character in the last couple of episodes, and she's going off trying to figure out what's going on. It slowed down a lot.
Do you think that there's a reticence from the Academy?
A what?
Like do you think that they do not want to put a Netflix movie as the best picture? Do you think they want to avoid having that situation?
Yeah, because it's prestigious and people look at, like, there was a time when you would watch
reticence
the Oscars.
Or a trepidation, if you will.
What?
There was a time
where, you know, when you talk about people doing Netflix and things of that nature,
it was looked at as second rate.
Yes, it was. And I don't think that's the case now, because when you look at the Scorsese film, it went to theaters and then it came to Netflix. Mm-hmm. It was some choice theaters and then it came to Netflix.
Right.
It was a little bit too long, but it was pretty good.
It did last a long time.
It did. I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit. Heard some good things about it. Really didn't want to see a movie like that.
No.
But I heard people say it was really good. Saw The Joker. Mm. Did not see Little Women. Did not see that. It's not in my wheelhouse. Saw Parasite.
Oh, that's not one of you?
No, that's not what
that's not what you're looking at?
I'm surprised at this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Because initially, when it first came, I thought it was a little campy, because it was it's based off the Tate LaBianca murders and all the other stuff, the Helter Skelter.
Yes.
But so I didn't know how much I would like to see something like that. Didn't you see that one as well? Mm-hmm. He enjoyed that one too.
Supporting actor, I think it's between Anthony Hopkins and either Pacino or Pesci, I think. Watch Brad Pitt win it, though, just because I think Pitt won the Golden Globe, so that always kind of telegraphs it. But I think Anthony Hopkins is getting short shrift on the two popes.
I'm looking at the nominations.
Yeah.
For the Oscar nominees. Haven't seen any of these movies. Didn't see Harriet. Did not see the Harriet movie because
Kathy Bates is up for the Richard Jewell movie, the one on the Atlanta bombing.
Yeah, I heard that was pretty good. Didn't see Harriet because I heard that they really took liberties with that movie. Heard they took liberties with that movie. Oh yeah, Kathy Bates. Yeah, I see.
Look at Abe's trying to edit me in my ear. I'm looking at it on the Oscars page.
Isn't,
you jerk.
Isn't Margot Robbie? That's Harley Quinn, right? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
That's Harley Quinn.
Yes.
Okay. So. Yeah, I haven't seen Toy Story 4 animated feature film is probably going to win. I know that one. I've seen that one. Mm-hmm. That one's really good. But all the Toy Story movies are good.
Cinematography.
What did I say? Cinematography?
Yeah.
Cinematography?
Yeah.
Forget both of y'all. Forget both of y'all. No. And when I said it, I was like, I hope they're going to let me slide with this. I was hoping y'all going to let me slide.
What is Parasite about?
Parasite is about this well-to-do family that is being manipulated by this poor family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the one guy comes in and he's trying to tutor this young girl, and then he puts his dad on, and his dad puts the mom on. You know, do you understand what I'm saying when I'm putting them on? Yeah, I'm not trying to, you know,
not use
big old words like you try to use. I'm trying to break it down for the layman, the common man.
Easy, Sally.
But yeah, and then all of a sudden, it just takes a weird twist.
Yeah.
It turns into something. It goes from one position all the way to another, and it's something totally different. That's what made it good.
It became
something else.
Why do I feel like this movie came out of nowhere? Because I didn't hear anything about this movie.
Because, first of all, if you're not in the mood to read,
mm-hmm.
you will not want to watch this movie.
I know, because it's a subtitle movie.
Yeah, it's a subtitle movie. But, and it's one of those movies where when it starts, you're thinking one thing, And then you're like, wait a minute, what the hell? It turns into something else.
Remember the one year the pianist won, the silent movie?
The pianist? What?
The pianist.
The what?
The pianist.
The pianist.
The pianist. Remember the one year
Did you drop that?
Remember the one year the pianist won?
Yes.
I watched that movie. I legit fell asleep watching that movie.
It was good.
We went to the theater to watch that movie.
A lot of these movies, I feel, especially, not so much probably this year, but a lot of these movies are, I think, geared towards a certain audience.
The artsy folks.
Yeah.
It's geared toward the artsy folks. You can say it.
If that's the words you want to use.
You can say it. It's geared toward the frou-frou artsy folks.
Since we got to let the dump button recharge. We're going to let go with that.
They're geared to the artsy folks. I'm sorry. I feel like, because here's the problem. You and I probably like kind of the same kinds of movies, but those are the kinds of movies that don't win Oscars.
Yeah.
Like Avengers isn't winning Oscars.
No, it's probably never win an Oscar.
They're never going to put a comic book movie as an Oscar winner. Never.
Ford and Ferrari, that potentially was in my wheelhouse, but I didn't see it. The Irishman was okay. Joker, definitely watched that. Parasite, yeah. I might go watch this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though. I might check that one out just to see.
That's like
love. Rob Tribble, shout out to my man Rob Tribble. He said that's a pretty good movie. So if Rob's saying it's pretty good, I'm going to go ahead and check that one out.
That's a better made La La Land is what it is.
See, I didn't see La La Land.
It's a better made La La Land. It's basically what it is. La La Land's the one with Ryan Gosling.
Was dancing?
Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Yeah. She was Spider-Man's girlfriend at one time. Yeah.
It's a better made La La Land. They basically did what they did in La La Land, but tried to actually make it like a watchable movie. And yet La La Land won all those damn awards because it was a satire on their life. So anytime you get people out of Hollywood making fun of Hollywood, people are like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, until they get mad. So The Marriage Story, is that with Kylo Ren? That's with Kylo Ren in that, right?
Yes, that's the one that Kylo Ren is in.
Yeah.
Adam Driver is the gentleman's name.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember
the
name.
I know
him as Kylo Ren.
I know.
Kylo Ren? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, Kylo Ren.
I got you. Was that a good enough Oscar preview for you there, Abe?
We missed the mark.
He said we ruined it. Why are we ruining it?
We missed the mark for Abe. I know Abe well enough to know that we missed the mark with that one.
Someone said you should have seen Harriet.
Why? Because I'm black? No.
You said it was. This guy said it was awesome.
No, because it's. I heard it was not historically correct. I probably need to see it for myself. I'm going by secondhand, information, but still. I heard it was not historically correct.
Abe has open written down. I do want to ask you, I wanted to bring up some more stuff about the Mike Vick thing because you said some things that I wanted to kind of stop down on when we were talking about that earlier. And we'll come back with that next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've had a fun time on this Sunday. Willie P. Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks today take on the Knicks. Pre-game 5:30, tip time 6 o'clock. We'll see if Trey's back. Hopefully he is.
Yeah, he got a little twisted little ankle, a little tender.
Might get some other guys back. Bembry, Hunter.
Good luck with that.
Probably not Cam.
Nah.
Definitely.
Concussion protocol.
And Dwayne Dedman will be making
his... Get a chance to see him making his re-debut, Hawks debut, coming back.
I was trying to figure out the best way to say it, but you stole re-debut. It from me.
You know, sometimes I just make words up and they just fit.
That was the best way to make that happen.
Yeah, they just fit.
See, I use big words and you make words up.
Yeah, you be saying them big old words.
And eventually you and I meet in the middle, and that's how it works. That's how the yin and yang works.
Yin and yang.
The one question we asked earlier today, which local team has taken the most steps back or conversely done the most to improve? Nick says Falcons going backwards. Hawks are on the come up. Another person on the text line says, Hawks have clearly done the most to improve. Braves and United, slight step back as of now, but optimistic to make some moves coming. And also the Falcons, big step back by keeping Dan Quinn. And again, I don't know if that's necessarily a step back, Hugh.
Nah, but we'll see how that works out. We're definitely going to see how that works out this season. I mean, because it's playoffs or bust. It's championship or bust.
Falcon fan Jay says, Atlanta United going backwards with Gressel, LGP, and Tito all gone. And you and I kind of disagree with that because I think that we kind of buy into what Carlos and Darren Eales have said about this team being more versatile and that being a strength of this squad. And, again, this is the price of doing business in MLS.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. They had a plan. They've stuck to it. they haven't changed. They haven't faltered. They got their guy. They believe in their guy. And I honestly feel like the people that did not believe in their guy, they aren't here anymore.
And if there is a front office in this city, I'm thinking there's a couple on that list, but if there's one front office you want to trust in this city, it's that one. It's the one that's got the chip on it.
Yeah, I trust them, and I trust Travis Link too.
I do. That's
because because we've been rolling with Travis for a long time, man, and you know, giving you a little background, Travis has walked the line. He's Johnny Cashed with us a few times, walked the line,
mm-hmm.
and potentially could have gotten in trouble a few times just by being as forthcoming as he has been with us. So I trust Trav.
Brandon says the Braves have taken a step forward from last season by signing Will Smith to improve the bullpen. Falcons have taken a step back by taking Quinn. He should have been fired because he's a bad excuse of a coach. I don't. come on, man. Why you got to do that?
Well, I don't subscribe to that.
As do I. I'm in the same boat.
But when you see certain things that happen during the course of the season, you could kind of see why someone would feel that way.
Right.
You know, because we...
But I don't think they're getting the whole story.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of wordplay. We do a lot of wordplay for obvious reasons. But, you know, when you're a defensive-minded coach and you bring somebody else in to call the defense,
mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, you saw a blind spot and you took care of that. No question about that. But when you do that, you open yourself up for that kind of ridicule. Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works, and that's just the reality of it.
But you and I were talking about this earlier as it pertains to Vic, and maybe being Vic Beasley. The scenario involving him is that I feel like you were dealing with a guy who just couldn't be reached anymore.
Listen, only thing I could go off of is what I was told. Like, that's it. That's all I can do. I was told that you're going to fix him. Like Coach Quinn said he was going to fix him.
Mm.
He said that. He said that he was going to fix Vic Beasley and that he wasn't going to like him at the end of – probably don't like him now because he ain't going to be a Falcon anymore, but during the course of the season, you didn't know what we were going to get from Vic Beasley.
Right.
We didn't know, and he came on strong towards the end. He got 8 sacks, but obviously for them, that wasn't enough for them to keep him around at the number that he potentially was going to want.
Mm-hmm.
You need that guy that – is going to a lunch pail guy.
Right.
You need a lunch pail guy. He wasn't a lunch pail guy. And to be honest, some of that has to do with coaching. It has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have not done a great job of developing pass rushers or defensive linemen for that matter. I mean, well, who outside of Grady, and you really can't, like, honestly, I can't even give you Grady. Grady's motivated by something totally different. He's motivated differently.
He's motivated by the fact that he was
slighted.
He's got that chip on his shoulder.
He's been touted as a little man. Too short, arms ain't long enough. You're not that prototypical guy.
He bought all that psychobabble baloney that he got from Dabo at Clemson.
Yeah.
That didn't apparently went in one ear and out the other with Vic, apparently.
And he is driven by something different. Outside of him, who Kaminsky looks like he could be a player, but we'll have to wait and see.
Need more of a sample size out of him.
Since we've been here 5 seasons, who has stepped up and stepped out as being that guy?
And on the defensive line, one guy.
That's it. And you and like I said, you can't honestly say you developed him. Grady, I've seen video.
Grady's self-motivated.
Yeah. Grady's a different animal. Grady's a different pedigree. So, yeah, I mean, like everything – that people are saying, they're right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
They are right to say it. So, you know, you got to deal with that. This is the year. This is the year where, number one, we got to get a bona fide defensive lineman. And he has to come in, like, no pressure. He got to come in. He got to make it happen. Tack is another guy. He has to make it happen. Tack plays hard. No question about that.
Do you believe all that that smoke that's surrounding Fowler saying he wants to be here? I don't know if he's going to be here for the price he wants.
You know what's funny? I was talking to a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, Dr. Rush. And he feels like he's a good player, but there's not too much difference between him and Tack. And you know, I defer to Chuck because, like I said, Chuck's watching film on these guys.
Mm.
I'm looking at them and I'm kind of telling you what I'm feeling. And then I go confirm it or, you know, Don't confirm it with Chuck. And he was like, yeah, that, he's a little bit better than Vic Beasley. I don't need a little bit better than Vic Beasley.
You need transcendent.
I need somebody that's going to come in here and you're going to be like, wow, that cat, him and Grady Jarrett about to do like the Wreckers.
You want a Bosa type
yeah,
character.
I want a Nick Bosa. I want a Nick Bosa type.
Those guys don't grow on trees.
They're a different animal, man. It was funny watching.
Can Chase Young be that guy?
Elite pass. That's what I'm about to say. Ohio State gets those elite pass rushers, and that's what they call them. Urban Meyer said, I go out and get those elite when he was coaching. Elite pass rushers. You got to get an elite pass rusher.
We'll tie a bow on everything we've done so far in our 4 hours together. Willie P. Hugh Douglas for one more before we hand it on out to Rob Tribble and Bryant McFadden.
Chicago.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.